Revelation 21 and verse 3. I hope you can open your Bibles now and join with me in bringing some of the richness out of this wonderful chapter, where John says in verse 3, "I heard a loud voice from the throne of God, saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men." Now the dwelling, and the word there is the word that we saw right back at the beginning of our series in John 1 verse 14, where it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us," or "set up His tabernacle among us." Now the tabernacle of God is with men, is what it says. And if you've got an authorized version, that's how it's translated, and some other versions too. Now the tabernacle, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. This morning we get to see finally where this whole theme of tabernacle has been heading. We began by thinking about Jesus in John 1:14 as the one who came to set up His tabernacle, His tent among us. And Emmanuel, we think about it at Christmas time, God with us, was who Jesus was as He was on earth. He was God with us, God in His tabernacle, God among His people. But at that point, Jesus hadn't yet finished His work, and He had to still go and die on a cross for our sins, which is what we were thinking about last time. And when Jesus did die on the cross, it was, as I said, curtains for the temple, curtains for the tabernacle. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. God was saying, "I'm finished with that. I have nothing more to do with that. I'm now going to be wherever My people are in the earth." And now the work of Jesus continues. But the work of Jesus is invisible now. It's not something we can see, because He has died on the cross, that was seen. Risen again, that was seen. Ascended to heaven, that was seen. But now He is in heaven. He is in the presence of God the Father. And He has done what Aaron did in the Old Testament tabernacle. He has taken the blood of the sacrifice, the blood that showed that an animal had died, that death had taken place, and that a sacrifice had been made. He's taken that into the Father's presence. He is, as this chapter says, the Lamb. For example, in verse 22, the Lamb is His title. In verse 9, the wife of the Lamb. He is the one who has been sacrificed, the Lamb of sacrifice, who has gone into the presence of the Father. Just as Aaron, once a year, took the sacrificial blood into the presence of God in the most holy place in the tabernacle and sprinkled that blood on the Ark of the Covenant and before the Ark. So Jesus now is in the presence of God right now, right at this moment. It's exciting. He's in the presence of God. He's presenting the sacrifice He's made on behalf of His people. Right now, in God's presence. The New Testament doesn't stop speaking about the tabernacle, though, with Jesus' death. It goes on speaking about it. And if we had a lot of time, we could spend a lot of time on this. The book of Hebrews is a great place to read about what the tabernacle is now. Because we don't have an earthly tabernacle like they had in the wilderness that Moses set up. We don't have an earthly temple, a permanent place like the tabernacle like they had in Jerusalem. That's all gone. We don't have a high priesthood like Aaron, working on earth on our behalf, representing us to God. That's all gone. Aaron took the sacrifice into God's presence in the most holy place. But now we have Jesus. And He has taken Himself, His own self, who was the sacrifice on the cross for our sins, into the presence of God and presented Himself as the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, to the Father in heaven. And in Hebrews, we get to understand what the tabernacle really was all about. Because Hebrews tells us that the tabernacle continues. In fact, Hebrews tells us that the tabernacle on earth was just a picture, a visual aid, a shadow of the real thing. The real tabernacle is heaven. The real tabernacle is heaven itself. So Hebrews 9:24, Christ did not enter a man-made tabernacle or sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear in God's presence for us. So Jesus has entered not an earthly tabernacle, an earthly sanctuary. He's entered heaven itself. So just as Aaron entered the most holy place with a sacrifice, Jesus, in entering heaven, is entering the real most holy place. Heaven is what the tabernacle is ultimately a picture of. It's ultimately heaven that is the real tabernacle. It's the real place. And if you go through Hebrews, you'll find the tabernacle, or you'll find heaven called the sanctuary, the true, greater, and more perfect tabernacle, set up by the Lord, not by men, not of this creation. You'll find all these kind of terms in Hebrews. It is what we've just been singing about in Psalm 23. It is God's house that God's people dwell in forevermore. But let's go to Revelation. Revelation 21. Now, I always say when we're looking at Revelation, don't try and picture it. It's not literal. It's symbolic. It's a symbol. Revelation 21 is completely symbolic. Nothing in Revelation 21 is as things really are in heaven. It's a symbol of how things really are in God's presence in heaven. And you need to interpret the symbol in order to understand what's going on. And that's really important. God's final word on the tabernacle is found here in the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is full of the tabernacle. Again, we don't have time, but if you go through Revelation, you'll come across the Ark of the Covenant, you'll come across the laver, which is called the sea in the book of Revelation, you'll come across the altar of incense, you'll come across the altar of burnt offering, you'll come across the lampstand, you'll come across the tabernacle or temple used as terms many times, all in the book of Revelation, because Revelation loves symbolism. It's all symbolism, and it takes the symbolism of the tabernacle and it hauls that symbolism into its final context of heaven itself. And verse 3 of Revelation 21 really sums it all up. Now the tabernacle, now the dwelling of God is with men. This is the final state. This is the final state of God's redeemed people. They dwell with God and God with them. Now the tabernacle is with men and he will live with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And it's not like things are just now for you and me. Because as verse 4 says, in this situation, this circumstance of the future, in heaven itself, the familiar is gone. That which is familiar to you and me is gone. We're very familiar, verse 4, with tears. And with death, and with mourning and crying and pain, we're very familiar with these things, sadly, desperately. But these things are gone. These things are no longer. All the sorrows that blight this earth have passed away. And the reason for that is, it's a new creation. Verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now remember, that's symbolic. So it's a new heaven and a new earth. The word that's used for new means renewed. It's like this present creation, it's not like this present creation has been just dispensed with. It's not like God has just crumpled it up like an old paper and chucked it in the waste picker basket. It's been renewed. Everything that's beautiful and good and true about it remains. But everything that's evil, as we say, the death and the mourning, the crying and the pain, and in verse 8, all those who do evil and cling to evil are gone. This is a new beginning for the creation. And there's no longer any sea. Now, those of you who love being on the sea might think that's a terrible thing, but forget. Literal interpretation is not literal. You can't use Revelation in that way. This is a symbol. And what did the sea symbolize for the Israelites? Well, the Israelites were not mariners. They were terrified of the sea. They were absolutely in fear of their lives with the sea. They hardly ever went to sea. The sea was a place for them of monsters, a place that was scary, a place that was dark, a place of mystery, a place with depths out of which could come hostile and evil forces. So it's gone. That which the sea symbolizes, the darkness and the storm and the hostility and the death, is gone. There are no threats in the new creation. It's a place where, if there are people, they can finally be truly and eternally happy. But where are the people? Well, there they are in verse 2. It's a symbol. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And remember verse 9, the bride is the wife of the Lamb. That's the church. It's a symbol of the church, and it's a symbol that's often used in the Bible. The church is the bride of Christ. It's the church symbolized in verse 2 as the holy city. It's not a literal city. It's a symbol of people. It's a symbol of the church, the New Jerusalem. It's a symbol of those who have put their trust in the ministry of Jesus on their behalf, that ministry that's going on in heaven just now. It's a symbol of all those who've trusted Jesus and received Jesus, and who finally, because they've trusted Jesus, find that Jesus delivers on his promises and find themselves with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth, with Jesus as his bride, as his church, in perfection and glory. That's what's symbolized in verse 2. And for these people who are symbolized in verse 2, God is with them. Verse 3 says his tabernacle is with them. His dwelling is with them. He will live with them. So when you read in Revelation 21 about a new creation and a city, what you're actually reading about is heaven and the church. It's this creation that we live in, renewed with the church in it. In other words, it's the future that we have on this planet, renewed in the presence of God. That's what's being pictured. God is among his people, and there is perfect and there is undisturbed friendship and fellowship between God and his people. Nothing to destroy that fellowship, nothing to distract that fellowship. It's just perfect, blessed happiness in the presence of God. And, you know, we can look forward to this. We can actually really get excited about this and anticipate this. Because when we trust Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, this is our future. This is what we're looking forward to. And it's not pie in the sky when we die. It's not some kind of escape mechanism so you don't have to deal with the realities of the present world. It's not like that at all. But it certainly gives you hope. Because all around us there are people who are hopeless. There are people who can't think about death. They can't think about the end of their lives because they're so afraid, they're so in denial about the realities of their lives, and they're so unprepared for it. They're so unprepared to meet with God. They're so unprepared because they've never actually set their house in order before God. They've never actually done anything with the light of the world. He's away in that cupboard. Instead of trusting him and what he's doing for them in heaven just now, and his high priestly work, his presenting a sacrifice that pays for their sins and brings them to God. They don't have anything of that. So they've got no hope. Their only hope is just to try and sustain their lives for as long as they can. Get a little bit more out of retirement, a little bit more out of life before finally they have to be extinguished. And for us, it's just not the way we must think. We must trust Jesus and get excited about this. But where's the temple then? Where's the tabernacle? Well, it's with us, verse 3. And remember what we said. It's heaven. It's the new creation. It's the new heavens and the new earth. The new cosmos. The cosmos that is this cosmos that has been cleansed from all evil is now in its entirety the tabernacle, the temple, the place where God dwells. So verse 22 says, I didn't see a temple in the city. I didn't see a temple among God's people because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Now that takes some thinking about. It's like saying, well, Jesus is there and God the Father is there and Jesus is there as a priest doing his work before the Father right in the middle of all his people. And that's what tabernacle and temple always were about. They're about the priest and God. But now the priest and God are there for us all to see in the middle of the creation, the new creation, doing their work. God and his son Jesus demonstrating to us right before our eyes that they have done the work that's necessary to keep us in their presence forever. So there's no building, just God and Jesus, the Father and the Son, doing the work of salvation for us. We see it. We see it right before us. And we can live at peace because we know God's commitment is eternally towards us. And where's the most holy place then? Well, the church is symbolized in verse 16 as a perfect cube. The city, remember the city, the New Jerusalem, is the people, is the church. The city is laid out like a square, it says, as long as it's wide. And it's 12,000 stadia, and that's about 1,400 miles. The 1,400 is important, the 12,000 is, because 12 is a very important number, and 1,000 is a very important number in the symbolism of Revelation. It's a big measurement of God's people, a lot of God's people, and they're symbolized as a perfect square, 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and as high as it is long. It's a perfect cube that symbolizes people, the church. Now that's a mystery, isn't it? Where else in the Bible do you see a perfect cube? Can anyone think of that? Where else in the Bible do you see a perfect cube? A very important and central place Do you know where it is? It's the most holy place in the tabernacle. It's 10 cubits long, it's 10 cubits wide, and it's 10 cubits high. And it's where God dwells. But now, the church, symbolized as a city, the New Jerusalem, is a perfect cube in symbolic fashion. It's the new most holy place where God dwells. God is there among his people, just as he dwelled in the tabernacle in the most holy place in that perfect cube. Now the people are the perfect place for God to dwell. He is with his people forevermore. Now verse 3 says, the tabernacle, the dwelling of God, is with men. I wish we had a lot more time to dwell on this, but let's just go over it again. The renewed creation. This creation, which we love, if any of us really appreciates this creation, all that's good will remain. But all that's bad will be gone. That's what it says. But this renewed creation is the place where the church is. And the church is symbolized as a city. It's symbolized us as a perfect cube. It's symbolized there for us the most holy place, as the dwelling place of God. God lives in the city. God lives in his church. God lives in his church. His church lives in the renewed creation. And there's no temple, there's no tabernacle, there's no physical building, because God and his Son Jesus, God Almighty and the Lamb, as it says, are everywhere, visibly ministering to his people, visibly fellowshipping with his people, visibly refreshing and sustaining and assuring his people, giving us peace. No longer are we afraid of God. No longer are we frightened to go into his presence because of our sins. All that is clearly before us, as dealt with and sorted out. The Lamb is there who has taken away our sins. The Lamb is there, and hallelujah to the Lamb, because he has completed his work, and we are there in the presence of God, where it's all temple, it's all tabernacle, it's all most holy place, it's all God with his people. And it's all that in the whole of the new creation. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever great and wonderful adventures and mysteries and marvels that are ahead of us in that glorious future, God will be with his people. He will dwell with us, and we will dwell with him. And God's original purpose for his creation will be finally fulfilled. If we trust in Jesus Christ, we can look forward to it. And if we don't, then we need to trust in Jesus. We need to. Because if we don't, then this chapter itself warns us that we have no place in the new heavens and the new earth. Because it's only a place for those whose trust is in the Lamb. So put your trust in Jesus, and this glorious future will be yours. Hallelujah.